Good afternoon, and thank you for this opportunity to be able to come and preach once again. This afternoon's lesson is going to be on courage, if you didn't get that from the reading. Thank you for that reading. Courage is the quality of being ready and willing to face negative situations, facing things despite your fear. What got me to this idea of doing this lesson is I've been lucky enough that there's been a couple people in my lives that I've been able to see this amazing courage. One of these individuals had thought that their heart might be in the wrong place, so they started asking questions. They started looking in the Bible. They even asked an elder. They had a Bible study just because they thought that maybe, just maybe, their heart was in the wrong place. Another individual has spent 2 years at least, maybe even longer, fighting against temptation, has asked help numerous amount of times, constantly doing Bible studies, constantly asking for help, constantly coming forward and asking for help. That takes courage to do. To analyze ourselves and to be able to come forward and ask for help, or to come forward at all, takes courage to do. And that is what we will be discussing this afternoon. If you turn your Bibles to Genesis 39, Genesis 39, we read of Joseph. And starting in verse 7, we see that Joseph has been made overseer of Potiphar's house. And it says, "And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, Lie with me. But he refused and said unto his master's wife, Behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he hath to my hand. There is none greater in this house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? And it came to pass as she spoke Joseph day by day that he hearkened not unto her to lie by her or to be with her. And it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business, and there was none of the men of the house there within. And she caught him by his garment, saying, Lie with me. And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out." Now, one of the things that when we're usually reading the story, we tend to think that maybe Joseph just fled automatically, that as soon as he was tempted, or that maybe he was barely even tempted, that he just fled. But if you notice right there in that last verse that I read, there's a break in the sentence right after "lie with me," a pause. What's interesting too is when I was at the Bible Museum in Israel, they have these manuscripts of the Torah and the Talmud of the Bible, and this story was actually on display. And right next to it is like musical notation, so they sang this story out loud so that they could remember it. And right here, at this very part, there's a break in the song too. Why? Well, because he was tempted. Because he was a young man in a house with a woman that kept day after day after day after day trying to seduce him. And he was a young man. He was tempted, and he had the courage to be able to stand up for himself, not only just to run away, but he rebukes her and says, "How can I do this thing against God?" That's the kind of courage that we need today as Christians. In Genesis 45, we see that Joseph has the perfect opportunity, right, to be able to enact his revenge on his brothers. He gets put in charge of all of Egypt. Lord Acton once said that power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. Joseph at this time has absolute power over all of Egypt, unless Pharaoh is on his throne, right? He could do anything he wanted. Absolute power. No repercussions for anything that he would do. He could get rid of his brothers, send them wherever. He could have them killed. Nobody would do a single thing about it. But he had the courage to act on his faith, do what was right, had the courage to follow what God wanted him to do instead of abusing the power that he had. Because how hard or how easy would it be to abuse that kind of power? It'd be extremely easy to be able to just get whatever you want at the snap of your fingers. If you turn your Bibles to Exodus 2, Exodus 2, we start reading of Moses. And in verse 11, "And it came to pass in those days when Moses was grown that he went out unto his brethren and looked on their burdens, and he spied an Egyptian smiting a Hebrew, one of his brethren, and he looked this way and that way. And when he saw that there was no man, he slew the Egyptian and hid him in the sand." Now, I'm not saying it was right for him to kill the Egyptian. I don't know what the circumstances were. But it was right for Moses to act when he saw something bad happening. When he saw a sin happening, he acted on his faith and the courage that it would take to do something like that. Because no matter what he did, whether he did nothing or did something, there's going to be consequences. If he did nothing, maybe the slave died. If he did something, he had to run away. No matter what he did, there would be consequences for his actions at this point in time. And he has the courage to try to do the right thing. And that's something that I don't know if we see that happen very often now. You know, a year and a half ago in Philadelphia on a subway train, a woman was being raped for 45 minutes and the train was completely filled up. For 45 minutes, not a single person did a single thing except grab their phone out of the pocket and videotape it. They didn't call the cops. Nobody tried to stop them. In 2009, a 15-year-old girl after a homecoming dance, 20 people around, she's getting raped, and not a single person stops. Nobody called the cops then either. And it's not just like now or anything like that. In 1964, 30 people watched a young girl get stabbed. None of them called the cops. None of them went there to go stop the incident. None. Now, I'm not telling you, as Christians, that you need to go put your life on the line, even though that may be something that's asked of you. What I'm saying is that when we see sin, we need to act and be able to stand up instead of just watching it like we have been. Turn your Bibles to Daniel 6. Daniel 6, we read of Daniel here. Daniel 6, and starting in verse 4, you have all these people that are coming against Daniel and about to sign a paper and a statute that's going to make it to where he's not going to be able to worship God the way he has been. Starting in verse 4, and then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could not find none occasion nor fault. For as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. Then these presidents and princes and assembled together to the king and said thus unto him, King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors and the princes, the counselors and the captains, have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Wherefore King Darius signed the writing and the decree. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Then these men assembled and founding of praying and making supplication before his God. How much courage would it take to do that when the government itself was telling you that you couldn't do it? Because we really need courage now, because our government right now is telling us to do things that we're not supposed to be doing. We need to be able to stand up. Christians most certainly need the courage to be able to act on the faith right here. I mean, Daniel has faith in God. It's obvious that he has faith in God. But to be able to act on that faith, the courage to be able to actually stand up for what he believes, regardless of the consequences of it, that takes a lot of courage. Please turn your Bibles to Joshua 6. Joshua 6, and right here we'll be talking about the siege of Jericho. All the people gathered together and they're about to start marching on Jericho. And starting in verse 1, now Jericho was straitly shut up because out of the children of Israel none went out and none came in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given into thy hand Jericho, and the king thereof, and the mighty men of valor. And ye shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go round about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram horns. And 7th day ye shall compass the city 7 times. And the priests shall blow with the trumpets. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when ye hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout. And the wall of the city shall fall down flat. And the people shall ascend up, every man straight before him. And Joshua the son of Nun called the priest and said unto him, take up the ark of the covenant, and let 7 priests bear 7 trumpets of ram horns before the ark of the Lord. And he said unto the people, pass on, encompass the city, and let him that is armed pass on before the ark of the Lord. And it came to pass, when Joshua had spoken to the people, that the 7 priests bearing the 7 trumpets of ram horns passed on before the Lord and blew with the trumpets, and the ark of the covenant of the Lord followed them. And the armed men went before the priest and blew with the trumpets, and the rearward came after the ark, the priest going on and blowing with the trumpets. And Joshua had commanded the people, saying, "Ye shall not shout nor make any noise with your voice, neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth until the day I bid you shout, then shall you shout." So the ark of the Lord compassed the city, going about it once, and they came to the camp and lodged in the camp. And Joshua rose early in the morning, and the priest took up the ark of the Lord. And seven priests, bearing seven trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord, went on continually and blew with the trumpets, and the armed men went before them. But the rearward came after the ark of the Lord, the priest going on and blowing with the trumpets. And the second day they compassed the city once and returned to the camp. So they did 6 days. And it came to pass on the seventh day, when they rose early about the dawning of the day, and compassed the city after the same manner 7 times, and only on the day they compassed the city 7 times. And it came to pass on the seventh time, when the priest blew with the trumpets, Joshua said unto the people, "Shout, for the Lord hath given you the city. And the city shall be accursed, even it, and all that therein. To the Lord only Rahab the harlot shall live, and she and all that are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that we sent." That would take courage as well. Verse 18. "And ye in any wise keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest ye make yourselves accursed when ye take up the accursed thing, and make the camp of Israel a curse, and trouble it. But all the silver and gold and vessels and brass and iron are consecrated to the Lord, that it shall come to the treasury of the Lord." So the people shouted when the priest blew with the trumpets, and it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpets, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat, so the people went into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. And they utterly destroyed all that was in the city, both man, woman, young and old, ox and sheep and ass with the edge of the sword. Now, they had instructions. They knew exactly what was going to happen. They had faith. They had faith in Joshua. They had faith in God, that God was going to see them through, that they were going to be victorious. But do you think that they thought that they still may lose a couple people? Do you think that they thought that, well, we're still going to win, but we may still lose some people? I mean, would you be afraid for your life if you were told to go march around a city, trying to be silent the entire time, not making any noise, and that's it for 7 days? I would be afraid to go march around the city every single time, wondering if they're going to pour oil on my head, whether they're going to throw rocks from the top, whether they're going to throw arrows, anything. They could throw anything from the top of a, if it's high enough, it's going to hurt you. But 7 times, 7 days, they got up. They had the courage to be able to act on that faith. 7 times they got up and decided to keep marching. That's the type of courage we need today as Christians. If you turn your Bibles to Joshua 24, here Joshua has all the people gathered together, all the nations, and he's about to remind them of all the things that God has done for them. And this is something that's very important for us, because his declaration at the end of this part, it's something that we need to be able to declare, because the world is declaring the complete opposite. Joshua 24, and starting in verse 1, "And Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem, and called for the elders of Israel, and for their heads, and for their judges, and for their officers, and they presented themselves before God. And Joshua said unto all the people, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, Your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in old time, even Terah, the father of Abraham, and the father of Nachor, and they served other gods. And I took your father Abraham from the other side of the flood and led him throughout all the land of Canaan and multiplied his seed and gave him Isaac. And I gave him to Isaac, Jacob, and Esau. And I gave to Esau Mount Seir to possess it. But Jacob and his children went down into Egypt. I sent Moses and Aaron, and I plagued Egypt according to that which I did among them. And afterward, I brought you out. I brought your fathers out of Egypt, and you came into the sea. And the Egyptians pursued after your fathers with chariots and horsemen into the Red Sea. And when they cried unto the Lord, he put darkness between you and the Egyptians, and brought the sea upon them, and covered them. And your eyes have seen what I have done in Egypt, and you dwelt in the wilderness a long season. And I brought you into the land of the Amorites, which dwelt on the other side of the Jordan, and they fought with you, and I gave them into your hand, that you might possess their land, and I destroyed them from before you. Then Balak the son of Zippor, king of Moab, arose and warred against Israel, and sent and called Balaam the son of Beor to curse you. But I would not hearken to Balaam, therefore he blessed you still, so I delivered you out of his hand. And you went over Jordan and came into Jericho, and the men of Jericho fought against you, the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Girgashites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, and I delivered them into your hand. And I set the hornet before you, which drave them out from before you. Even the two kings of the Amorites, but not with thy sword, nor with thy bow, And I have given you a land for which you did not labor, and cities which you built not, and you dwell in them. Of the vineyards and the olive yards which you planted, do you eat. Now therefore fear the Lord, and serve him in sincerity and truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood, and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose ye this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We need to have courage to be able to make that declaration today. I think it was a couple days ago that Whoopi Goldberg on TV, on national TV, says that we need to pull Bibles out of schools, which I don't even know if Bibles are in schools. But that we need to pull Bibles out of schools because she said that it is porn, the Bible. They're literally calling things that are evil good, and good they are calling evil. We, as Christians, need to be able to stand up and say that we are going to serve God. Please turn your Bibles to Matthew 14. Matthew 14. And starting in verse 22. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spoke unto them, and saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. He walked on the water. Peter did. He had the courage to act on his faith when everything around him was turmoil. The winds and the lightning and, yeah, we know the rest of the story, that he starts to fall and Jesus has to help him back up. But for a moment, his faith and his courage to actually act on that faith, to disregard the laws of physics and the laws of nature and everything in the world that says that you can't walk on water. I mean, yeah, he has an example of somebody walking on water right in front of him. That's Jesus, but that's kind of cheating. He's the Son of God. You know, he can do whatever he wants. But he has complete faith and the courage to act on that faith. And that's the courage that we need today as Christians. If you're in your Bibles to Acts 17, Acts 17, talking about the Bereans, these individuals are similar to those individuals that I was talking about before at the very beginning of this lesson, that they analyzed themselves to make sure that they were doing the right things every single day. And starting in verse 11 of chapter 17, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. Therefore, many of them believed, also of honorable women which were Greek, and of men not a few. It takes a lot of courage to be able to analyze ourselves. Every single one of us does not want to believe that our conscience may be wrong. We all wish to believe that our heart is in the right place, that we do things the right way because we have the right intention, or our heart is rarely right. And the only way to know whether it is right is to read our Bibles. We need the courage to be able to examine ourselves to make sure that what we are doing is what God wants us to do. Please turn your Bibles to Acts 8. Acts 8. This will be the last verse that we cover this evening. Acts 8, and starting in verse 26. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go towards the south, into the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority, under Candace, queen of Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning, and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near, and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him, and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, Understandest what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? and he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this: he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so he openeth not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet of this, of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came into a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thy heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. How long do you think that journey was? How long do you think that Bible study was? A day? I doubt it was a day. I think it was probably less than a day. But at the most, it was probably a day. At the most. He definitely had a lot less information than we do. A lot less information than we do. But the first question that he asked when he saw a body of water was, what hinders me to be baptized? It wasn't, I don't know enough, I need to find out more, or I have other things to do because he was a treasurer. No, the first thing he does is he acts on the faith that he has, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and says, what hinders me? He wanted to be baptized right away. As Christians, that's what we need to have. And it's not, I mean, he also asks for help when he didn't understand something. The courage to ask for help when you don't understand something is huge. When I was studying for this lesson, I took a break at one point and I rented a movie. I think it was called We Bought a Zoo. At the end of this movie, this man is talking to his kids and he's telling them how he met his wife, their mother. He said, I saw her through a window in a cafe area. And he starts walking towards the door to get in the cafe. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. He gets to the door. 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Starts walking towards the girl. 8, 9, 12. All 20. He gets up to her. 20 seconds. That's all it took. And his entire world changed, he said. He told his boys that 20 seconds of courage will just change your whole world. It took me less than 20 seconds to get from that back road up here. Less than 20 seconds. That's with a cane. Less than 20 seconds, and it can change your whole world. You've heard the word, and I hope you believe it. And I hope that you have repented of the sins that you've done. And I hope that you've also confessed that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and you've been baptized. But if you have not, I hope that you have the courage to come forward. If you need the prayers of the congregation, I hope you have the courage to come forward as we stand and as we sing.